Welcome to Twisted With Us.
In the name of a nearly 10-minute monstrosity of a song and then another song called Monstrosity, this is our ongoing examination of Twisted.
I'm Aaron.
I'm Eric.
And I'm Robbie.
And today we're reviewing Twisted's 2013 EP and or mixtape and or album, A New Nightmare.
Heyo, yet another week, and we're finally, guys. The past multiple, also hello to both of you.
Oh, hi.
Hello.
The past multiple episodes have been some songs we missed.
Three.
Patreon mashup. I mean, it's been forever since we have done a proper album, and look at where we are today.
Maybe not doing a proper album.
Depends on how you define an album. But it is a proper release versus a collection of random songs.
Yes.
Correct.
So,
and I gotta say, I'm back in it, baby. I'm ready for this.
Big save.
I'm ready for our where we were at the time. I'm ready for what was going on at the time. I'm ready. This is back to a proper episode, and I couldn't be happier. And listeners, I hope you feel the same. I could care less if you feel the same.
To your point, we made a few little tweaks to the flow for this season because we're constantly evolving what we're doing, trying to make it better, trying to streamline it. And we'll probably continue to do that as we move forward. But yeah, this is back to the full format. We're talking about a time and a place and an album or whatever it is. So this should be fun.
I'm going mixtape. I think for me, mixtape feels the most correct.
Mixtape, we'll get into why mixtape could have, might be, possibly isn't the right name for this.
Sure. EP seems wrong. EP is, you know, we'll get there. We'll talk.
I mean, they put out an 11 track EP that we reviewed a few years ago. So. Yeah.
Well, that was a few years ago. How long have we been doing this?
I mean, for them, probably 10 years ago.
Oh, it was. Yeah. I thought you meant we did that a few years ago. And I was like, damn, where has the time gone?
Last year. Yeah. I think last year.
Sometime last year.
Sounds either right. Way. Well, let's do this. Robbie, we're talking today, as we mentioned, about A New Nightmare. It's been 3 months since the last time we reviewed a proper Twisted album, which is crazy to think that. I mean, we've done multiple episodes in between, but we did take a between seasons break. However, historically, A New Nightmare was released about 9 months after Abominations, which is the last album we talked about. So now we've made it to the summer of 2013, and we need to know the Twisted history to catch us up to this point.
Sure. We need to know how we got here.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, let me just to refresh in case anyone forgot. December 12th, 2012. Mm. Twisted leaves Psychopathic Records.
True.
That's the cliffhanger that we ended our final season on. Not our final season, but our last season. It was actually, we're doing this one right now. So that's
previous season?
Previous season. Previously on Twisted With Us, they left.
Yes.
Oh, hold on. Previously on Twisted With Us.
Twisted leaves Psychopathic Records. Put like a filter on that so it sounds like it's on, like it's older when I said it.
Oh, okay.
Twisted leaves Psychopathic Records. Anyway.
Yeah.
Not to do your job for you.
Dun, dun, dun.
Yeah. So, we know that. That's all said and good. So now let's jump into this year, this season. So in late December, this is just a fun side note, a juggalo named Scribbles, the Denver Juggalo, announced that he would be going on a hunger strike until Twisted returned to Psychopathic Records. He states that his heroes are Gandhi and Violent J.
And this is real. I read about this.
Yep.
Great.
And he urges juggalos to take peaceful actions to talk Twisted into returning. This was, you know, this is the state that this announcement left people in. 3 days after this announcement, Psychopathic Records made an official statement asking him not to do this. So that's that story. December 31st, Twisted had their New Year's Evil show. It was the fifth one. It was at Peabody's in Cleveland, Ohio. Openers were Prozac, Class, Buckshot, and Ajax. and the Midwest Connoisseurs. Ajax and the Midwest Connoisseurs was one thing.
Are they connoisseurs of the Midwest?
Yeah, I don't know. Ajax has been around forever as like a, you know, underground horrorcore rapper guy. He was actually George Twisted's manager's first guy that he managed, I think. But I don't know who the fuck these Midwest connoisseurs are. That's,
I thought you were going to say Ajax has been around forever as a cleaning product.
Well, that's true, too. Yeah, that actually probably predates the rapper, if I had to guess.
Maybe.
That makes sense.
Yeah. So also, just to note, it's not like a, there's not a date for this, obviously. But by now, and in the kind of past couple of years, maybe, that Twisted were on Psychopathic, they are working with a manager who goes by the name of, well, that's just his name. He doesn't go by it.
He goes by his actual name,
which is George Vlahakis. I don't have it written in front of me, but George Vlahakis, I think.
Okay. Mm-hmm. You were like, George Vlahakis.
Yeah, it's something with a V and a lot of syllables and consonants. But he was a Psychopathic Records employee. He helped book The Gathering for years, and then he became Twisted's manager. And when they left, he continued to be their manager off of Psychopathic, no longer working for The Gathering and all those things. Just a character to keep in mind for all this.
I would pronounce this as George Vlahakis. I don't know if that's right. It's V-L-A-H-A-K.
I think it's Vlahakis.
Vlahakis. That's not, yeah, that seems reasonable.
It's too many consonants, though. Let's clean it up.
It is three.
It's the way that they touch each other.
He's also the manager currently, for the past almost 3 years, for the band Attila.
Yeah, I do know wow. That to be true. Yeah.
Strange.
Here's a fun fact.
Sure.
Franz, the vocalist of Attila, mm-hmm. owns a record label called Stay Sick Records. A few years ago, Stay Sick Records bought Eulogy Recordings. Eulogy was a huge label throughout the 2000s and 2010s for a lot of hardcore and pop punk and even emo stuff, like Dashboard Confessional started there. My band Hollowed Out was signed to Eulogy Records. Mm. And now, because he bought the label and their entire catalog, Franz owns the rights to our album that's on Eulogy.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And if you listen to it on Spotify, it says Eulogy Stay Sick at the bottom. And I'm not putting this on him because he didn't make the deal, but we never saw a penny from that album. Not one penny.
Franz, you fucking piece of shit.
Honestly, you might want to reach out to George.
Yeah, maybe I should.
Give me a call. Twice removed then from George.
Yeah, I mean, I've got his email address, so I can pass it over.
Okay, yeah, I'll let me hit him up. Somebody got a notification.
Ooh, somebody got a computer update.
So here's the thing. Ina's computer is under my computer right now, and I don't have access to turn off the volume on it, I don't think. So I apologize if that happens anymore.
Now, does Ina's computer usually stay under yours, or do they, like, switch positions?
Well, you know, mine's
sometimes hers is on top.
Mine's usually in the room. But for these recordings, I bring it out to the living room.
Yeah. So yours just likes to watch.
Yeah. I mean, this metaphor is convoluted. I will
say. It's quite convoluted. You know what? We're way off track. Yeah. Robbie, please continue with the Twisted history.
January 1st, 2013. Twisted announced the second leg of the Abominations tour. So they're still, you know, it's not been out super long. They're on their own now, but they're still promoting Abominations. Second leg has Head PE, Potluck, and Little White on it. So January 4th, this is an interesting one. And I would suggest listeners, find this and give it a watch. But January 4th, 2013, Twisted and Blaze appear acting in a USA pilot called Over Under, where they're discussing shady sports betting in a diner.
What?
Yeah. So this was supposed to be a USA, you know, running show, a drama. I believe a drama. I've only seen this clip.
Oh.
And it didn't get picked up for season or whatever series. So it's just a pilot, a 2-hour pilot that they ran. But there's a brief, you know, minute and a half, 2-minute scene where Twisted and Blaze are in a diner with various painted up juggalo types. I think the premise is they're on tour and they meet up with these illegal sports betting guys at a diner to talk, you know, business. Strange. really
weird.
But it a thing that happened.
Okay.
Yeah, worth watching the little clip. It's on YouTube, you know, various bad uploads of people that just filmed it off their TVs.
Fine, I'll do it.
Perfect. Then February 5th, 2013, in less exciting, well, exciting is up to interpretation, in less positive news, let's say, King Gordy, who we've talked about plenty, was shot 5 times in Detroit and survived. He's still with us, but it was a dramatic, you know, situation.
That sucks. For which, him.
That sucks that he's still with us.
Oh, no. I know that's, no, that's not that part. February 10th, 2013. Again, not necessarily twisted history, but this will all get us somewhere. Otis of Axe Murder Boys releases his first solo mixtape under the name Young Wicked. It's called Young Wicked Mixtape Volume 1. February 12th, Monoxide responds to a tweet asking about new music and states that they are still waiting for their official written release from Psychopathic Records and that they cannot announce or release any new music until that happens. So this is 2 months later, and they're still kind of just waiting for paperwork, it seems like. Psychopathic's dragging their feet a little bit. March 8th, 2013, Violent J does a long interview for InsaneClownBossy.com where he confirms that Blaze has also left Psychopathic Records. He says, you know, I'm sure here's some quotes that Violent J had to say about the whole situation, which are interesting, you know, given the following 10 years. He says, I'm sure they want to be in total control over themselves and any acts they may want to sign. There's no fucking beef or hard feelings in this decision. He says, if anybody doubts Twisted's loyalty to us or to Juggalos, they are fucking truly insane. The bond between ICP and Twisted will never die or soften. The only real way for Twisted to grow at this point was to leave Psychopathic and start their own company.
Yeah, I believe that.
So these are
yeah,
all Violent J quotes. Seems like he was pretty level-headed at the time, and maybe that changed.
I'm glad that literally nothing has changed since that moment.
Yeah, he still believes this. Everyone has a nice time. So then right after this, March 10th, a couple days later, Blaze says on stage that his first knowledge that he was not on Psychopathic Records was the Violent J interview, that he was hurt and that he would not return to the label because it was clear that he was not wanted there. So in Blaze's estimation, Twisted left had nothing to do with him. I think he was actually dealing with like loss in the family at the time. I think his mom may have died. And he was kind of doing his own thing. Twisted was leaving, plotting, doing their thing. And he did a show with ABK, I think. And I think was under the impression that, you know, he's not a member of Twisted. So whatever, whatever. And he was pretty steamed.
These guys need to just text each other once in a while.
For real. Would be. Yeah. Hey, you still on this label? Yes or no? Check yes or no.
Yeah, like even like Blaze, what's up, man? And he's like, hey, I'm dealing with a death in the family. I'm going to need a little bit of time. And they'd be like, oh, OK, cool. You know, if you need anything, let us know. There you go. Yep. Dealt with.
Really easy. I don't know if they're bad at maybe they're old. They're not that old, but they seem bad at texting. Maybe. I don't know.
I mean, listen, if you're like a grandpa or whatever, pick up the phone and call him, motherfucker. Like just. Well,
they did say that they had reached out to him on the phone and had trouble reaching him or something. Oh, so
well, maybe he was at a funeral. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. Anyway, so then March 12th, Violent J tweets, says he spoke to Blaze. Everything's cool. No beef. He apologized for speculating without having all the information. Blaze responds and says it was a misunderstanding and they are all good, but still not on the label. But they're like not mad at each other.
Okay.
March 12th. Twisted post a press conference video to YouTube discussing the second leg of the Abominations tour, the upcoming twistedshop.com launch, and new merch. And they repeat the phrase over and over again. It's not about what happened. It's about what's happening. Sort of stating, hey, we're moving forward. March 13th, Twisted and Blaze confirmed that they will be performing at the 2013 Gathering of the Juggalos. Everything's regular on that front. March 14th. Jumpsteady makes a statement about Twisted leaving, which again, this is now 3 months later. I don't know why these statements are taking so long to draft or what's happening.
Yeah.
But he says, let's see, we failed to order enough product to handle the pre-release of the Twisted Abominations album. It resulted in a lot of ninjas not receiving the album on its release date. We in turn removed the person responsible because they obviously weren't qualified to adequately accomplish their job. When Twisted left the label, Chris was going through a really hard time because of a personal matter, and suddenly all communication with him, for the most part, came to a halt. He apologizes to Blaze for letting Jake speak before it was official, basically. March 15th, TwistedChop.com opens. These boys are selling merch. So I'm assuming with all these statements coming out, it took that long to finalize the paperwork of them leaving and whatnot. And now it's like, okay, we can move forward.
I mean, it could be anything. We talked about that in one of our episodes at some point about the fact that it was like, well after the fact that stuff came out, and it was like, what? Everybody kind of knows that this happened. So what are we talking about this 4 months later or whatever? But okay.
Yeah. Really strange. I don't know what. Yeah. Jeff said he was like, hey, listen, I got to say something about this. It's been 3 months.
it's time we make an official statement.
Our label should say, yeah, it's like, what were you guys doing? I mean, there was the holidays, I guess, but that, Jesus Christ.
Yeah. I don't know.
They partied hard during the holidays.
Yeah. And had a 2-3 month hangover. Interesting, you know, kind of similar but different news. In March of 2013, Cottonmouth Kings officially left Suburban Noise Records, the label they had co-founded with Kevin Zinger. Months and months of online bickering and name calling and accusations between Daddy X from Cottonmouth Kings and Kevin Zinger. Talk about sleeping with people's wives and God knows what. Real messy stuff from real messy boys.
Mm.
Eventually, Daddy X started a new company, and they were no longer part of Suburban Noise. So again, tragic. Not directly related, but kind of gives us a taste of the temperature of the scene at this time.
Yeah, I was doing some potluck research and saw that they had at some point down the line released disses toward Cottonmouth King. So things,
it's at this time, always, yeah.
So
it was a messy era for sure. May 19th, it's just a fun little thing that happened. Twisted did a radio takeover of 89X in Detroit. They just, you know, played some songs from Abominations, joked around a little bit, hosted a radio show. Nothing really exciting happened. June 13th, 2013, Twisted announced the third leg of the Abominations tour, starting in late July, and with openers Jelly Roll, Little White, and Aqualio, I don't know. June 19th, Twisted announced Canadian Abominations tour with Potluck and Blaze opening. June 19th, same day, Twisted join Vine.
Ooh.
Which is a fun throwback.
Yeah. Hey, Vine's about to make a big comeback.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. As soon as they outlaw TikTok, Vine is back, baby.
Oh, I'm sure they're coming back. Yeah.
Yeah. June 20th, Twisted announced a fan club site called TwistedFam.com. This was like a paid fan club.
Oh.
There was tiered levels. So $25 a year got you a glow-in-the-dark bracelet, lanyard, sticker pack, and club membership for a year. Level 2 was $50. It got all the same stuff, plus a t-shirt and an official iPhone and Android game. To be coming out. Yeah. Tier 3 was $100 a year, all the same stuff, plus bandana and limited 7-inch vinyl of unreleased Twisted songs.
Oh.
And $150 got you all that same stuff, plus a hat, a wall flag, and an autographed silk screen poster featuring original artwork from Jamie Madrox. So they put this all up for pre-sale.
Is this like a Kickstarter for an album or something?
I think it was supposed to be kind of a help fund our new venture, but also fan club, you know, exclusive access to stuff as it
like
comes
halfway
out.
Between like a Patreon and a Kickstarter kind of
totally
thing.
Yeah. More on the Patreon thing is it was going to be like an annual, you know, it was a regular billing cycle kind of thing, but
interesting. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Let's see. July 4th on Twitter, when asked why they left Psychopathic Records, Monoxide states they made it so we can't talk about why we left. So maybe they will tell you. There's some NDAs there, seemingly. July 6th, Twisted appeared at the Days of the Dead horror convention in Indianapolis, Indiana, signing and selling merch. They took a bunch of pictures with various horror celebrities. And this starts a them going to conventions arc,
which is still happening to this day.
Correct. Yeah, now they have their own. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. True.
July 8th, Twisted apologizes for charging for the fam club and turn it into a free forum for fans. People that had paid already are offered 2 tickets to an upcoming Twisted show of their choice. So just about a couple weeks later, they scrap the whole fam club idea and just now it's a website, I guess, for a forum that I don't think exists to this day.
Why was there a reason that they like did they not come through with something they had promised and went, hey, OK, you know, we're just going to make up for this, or what happened?
I think maybe people just thought it sucked. Maybe they were just like, hey, it's expensive. What the hell? I don't really know, though, because, you know, Juggalo's turn of the 2010s. I don't think they were complaining about anything being expensive.
But everybody, no matter what tier they purchase, gets 2 tickets to a future Twisted show.
Yeah, I assume. And maybe they got the stuff, you know, I don't really know. I just know that they announced that they would be giving out those tickets, which, yeah, I mean, if you bought a $150 package or a $25 package, I feel like, you know. If I bought a $25 package and got 2 free tickets, I'd be like, hey, you know what? Solid deal.
Yeah, I'd be feeling great.
I don't know.
Yeah, if you spent $150, you'd be like, I should get more than 2 tickets.
Can, right? Can I get maybe
five
like
tickets at least?
6 tickets? Yeah.
So the last thing I've got here is that July 25th, Twisted played the Oklahoma City Downtown Air Park opening of the show, I think, with Sublime with Rome, Cottonmouth Kings, and Pennywise. So a show that, boy, is not for me. But
what? Why was Pennywise at that show?
Very strange.
Pennywise makes sense with Sublime and Rome, I feel like.
You think?
Yeah. They definitely have some crossover fans times 1,000.
I'm sure that there's some crossover fans, but just musically, Pennywise doesn't fit in with what's happening there. I'm sure that the people that were there for the other three were still having fun with it, though.
Did they do a special Twisted with Rome set?
No, they actually did Sublime with Twisted. Oh. So they just sang all the Sublime songs. Rome sat on the sidelines and enjoyed the view.
Jacked off and watched.
He said, finally, I get to take a seat.
All right. Robbie, thank you for that history. I will give the album history in a moment that picks up from actually a little before where you left off and gives some additional notes. But real quick, what we normally do at this point is give some context about what was going on in the world at this point and then talk a little bit about what was going on in our lives. We will do that this time. But I do want to bring up the concept that 2013, 11 years ago, right? Is it so long ago that we have forgotten what it was like back then? The answer is probably yes, but there is going to be a point somewhere in the near future where we can stop providing this context about where we were and what was going on in the world, because we're about to be in the past 10 years. I think when we get to the like 4 and 5-ish years ago, we probably don't need to keep doing this. That's right. My suspicion.
Yeah, I think that's fair. Unless there's a specific thing that like, please remember this for context.
Right. Wait. Well, you know, and that might just end up in the Twisted history part, honestly. Yeah,
totally.
So let's talk about some of the stuff that was going on in 2013. Here's just some of the big things. On July 18th, 2013, the city of Detroit filed for bankruptcy. I didn't know cities could do that, actually. But it made it the largest city in American history to file for bankruptcy.
Man, I just watched RoboCop 2 last night. And that's basically what happens there.
Yeah. So. I mean, it takes place in Detroit, even though it was filmed in Dallas.
Oh, really? I didn't know that, but
yeah,
they did a good job.
Well, the first one was, at least. I assume the second one was. The Supreme Court struck down a federal law that defines marriage as between a man and a woman, clearing the way for gay marriage across the U.S. Edward Snowden leaked a bunch of documents that exposed extraordinary surveillance by the NSA, showing that they had collected bulk data on Americans' phone and internet records, among other things. 2013. Motherfuckers were making Harlem Shake videos. It was around the beginning of some of these internet trend, you know, like the mannequin challenge and shit like that. But Harlem Shake was one of the first big ones.
And funny you should say that, because I didn't mention it in the history because I was going to wait till you got to it in this. Twisted made a Twisted Kills the Harlem Shake video.
Ooh. Yeah, of course they did.
Where some people were doing it and they, I don't know, the lights went out and they were bloody afterwards or something. But yeah, so this was such a big trend that Twisted needed to weigh in.
You know, that 5 seconds of music in those videos, this might be a hot take, but kind of a banger.
Mm. It's been a while. I'd have to go back and revisit.
It goes like this. Like that.
Damn, that is slapping.
Yeah, it's good. That's what I was saying.
I love that.
Speaking of slapping, everybody was playing Flappy, not Slappy, Flappy Bird.
Flapping birds.
On their phones, and that game... I think it only got attention because it's fucking impossible and broken.
It got pulled down real fast, right?
Yeah, I think it did.
Yeah, it did. But if you had it, then it stayed in your account, like on your phone.
So I had a post-removal Drake-centric version of it that I
wrote. Of course you did.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm starting to think that 2013 was the beginning of the modern internet era, but I could be wrong.
Yeah, I could buy that.
And... people were watching that Uncensored Blurred Lines video, which is still on YouTube and has millions upon millions of views. And I'm like, how the fuck is this on YouTube?
Wait, the unedited one is?
Without even like an advisory or like parental warning or anything at the beginning.
Really?
Strange.
Yeah. Huh. That song sucks.
Yeah, not a good song.
Yeah, it's bad.
But I did watch the whole video again.
Yeah, I gotta challenge this. I mean, not challenge it, but I'm just surprised to hear that they would, you know, YouTube is really strict about
not about everything. This video. Yeah,
very, very strange it's still on YouTube. I had no clue.
Yeah. Are you watching it right now, Aaron?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Guys, can I go to the bathroom for 5 minutes?
Let's talk about some rap and hip hop albums from 2013 now.
Sure.
Now that we are past... the greatest song of 2013. We can talk about some of the other stuff that came out that year. Let's talk about Mac Miller watching movies with the sound off.
Mm-hmm. Great album.
French Montana, Excuse My French.
Probably fine album.
Tyler, the Creator, Wolf.
Lesser in his discography for me, but still pretty good.
Agreed. Earl Sweatshirt, Doris.
Fantastic.
Run the Jewels, their first album, self-titled.
Really good.
Hell yeah.
I liked two more.
Yeah, I think two is the better one.
Third's my favorite.
Really?
Really? The third one?
Yeah, I like three.
Okay.
I like two and four.
Two's probably second. First is probably third. Four is good, too. I don't listen to four that much.
Same. I don't listen to any of them anymore, but I like the second one the best. We got ASAP Rocky, Long Live ASAP.
Great album.
ASAP Ferg, Trap Lord.
Better album, arguably.
Sure.
2 Chainz, Boats 2, Me Time.
Fine album.
Jay-Z, Magna Carta, Holy Grail.
Pretty bad album.
Chance the Rapper, Acid Rap, which I'm pretty sure is all Isham covers.
It is, and it's great. Yeah.
Yeah. Eminem, The Marshall Mathers LP 2, the sequel.
Somehow both underrated and bad.
Okay, here's one for you specifically. Danny Brown, Old.
One of my favorites.
Drake, Nothing Was the Same.
Fantastic.
Here's another one for you. Kanye West, Yeezus.
Culture-defining, incredible.
Death Grips, Government Plates.
Wish I liked them more.
Czarface, self-titled.
Pretty solid.
Yeah, really fun.
Cage, Kill the Architect.
That's an Eric.
That's a me. Lil Wayne, I Am Not a Human Being 2, the sequel.
This was me going, maybe there's still some gas in the tank, but hopefully, I don't know.
J. Cole, Born Sinner.
Pretty good.
Pusha T, My Name Is My Name.
Top notch.
Can't argue with that.
Childish Gambino, Because the Internet.
Never heard it. People say it's great.
Culture defining in 2013.
Okay. I think that's true. Right. I think that's true. I just never listened to it.
You know what? Those were the ones that I pulled that I was like, I think these are the ones worth mentioning. There was a lot of other rap that came out. But if you want to understand what rap sounded like at that time, this gives you the whole spectrum of popular and even some not popular kind of underground rap that was happening in that range. I'm not going to go through all of them, but a few of the big movies that came out that year, if you're trying to, help me, give me some context here. Frozen came out that year. Mm. Iron Man 3, Hunger Games 2, Despicable Me 2, and The Hobbit 2.
I have seen Frozen, and that's all.
I saw all but The Hunger Games 2.
I saw all these, I think.
Yeah. I'm a Hunger Games virgin. I've seen none of it, read none of it. Don't know nothing. I know Katniss is there. That's my whole knowledge.
Her name sounds like cat piss a little bit.
Oh, cat piss, very similar syllables. Yeah.
Yeah.
Switch out an N for a P and you've got a.
Yeah, it's there. And there it is. Let's talk about us, though, and where we were at this time. I talked about some of the popular music or some of the not popular music, but all rap focused. I want to know, where were you in the summer of 2013 or any time in 2013? This is our only 2013 album. What were you into? What kind of music were you listening to? Robbie, why don't you kick us off?
Sure. So I was kind of in the early days of my journey doing stand-up comedy. So I was out a lot. You know, riding the bus to and from open mics and music. I mean, I honestly don't need to go into it because look at that list right above. That's what I was listening to.
Okay.
All those rap albums and Miley Cyrus's Bangers and Charlie XCX True Romance. Those are pretty much where I was at.
Nice. Aaron, do you want to give us your info?
2013, the summer after my first full year in college. And baby, I am been relegated down to a community college because I had a horrifyingly awful first year at a university. But I didn't care, though, because I was playing in a band that at the time I thought was going places. But looking back now, I'm like, damn, that shit sucked ass.
What was it called?
The Focus Hour. Our album, our one and only album, is still on Spotify to this day.
Nice. Appreciate. What did you do in this band?
I played the drums.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, played the drums. We recorded an album. We played a decent amount of shows, mainly at Tomcats West. Eric, last episode, we briefly talked about the band Shai Hulud. This was my band that I played with Shai Hulud in.
Oh, cool.
But yeah, I was making music. I was working at Sherwin-Williams, and I was getting set to go to community college in the fall.
What were you listening to?
Listening to a lot of metalcore. But also in 2013, I feel like I was, this was also around the time that I started listening to more like prog as well, like a little like Between the Buried and Me.
This is when you started listening to Between the Buried and Me?
Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. Started late.
Yeah, real late.
And this was all the stuff.
Is that prog? I've never listened to
that. I mean, after the first two albums, yes, it got real proggy.
Okay. I just think of 70s stuff as prog because I'm a prog dunce.
But I mean, I think there's a lot of prog metal these days.
Yeah.
I think a lot of the metal bands are carrying that torch.
Okay.
But I would say after Silent Circus, they got hella proggy. Some of Alaska is not, but some of Alaska is. But like once you get into Colors and beyond that, I was like, oh, I can't listen to this at all.
That Aaron, was that when you were saying I can listen to this?
Yeah, that's so our guitar, my guitarist in that band, who was a longtime friend from high school, he was super into prog. He kind of got me into it because that's sort of what he was listening to while we were hanging out and like driving around and shit. So I maybe a little bit too early for things like Tesseract or Chon, but okay.
So not just prog, but you were getting into some of like the more technical metal stuff.
Yeah, technical metal. And yeah, I admired it, but boy could I never fucking dream to play it because that is way above my skill level.
I feel you there. I definitely couldn't do that.
That's kind of what I was listening to at the time.
Interesting. See, I went through a little bit of that stuff when, you know, I would say 4 to 5 years prior to that, when I was getting into, you know, being in a deathcore band that had more technical elements because there was sort of like crossover on the Venn diagram with some of those bands. But I could never go too far that direction because it just like it started to lose me a little bit.
Yeah, not my scene.
Yeah. So. Not much had changed for me from last time we talked. I'm still living in Texas, still working for the same company, probably in a new department by this point. Still not even close to aware of any fucking thing that ICP or Twisted was doing at this point. My buddy Dave and I had recorded and released a pretty bad sounding, when I go back to it now, 5-track demo EP called Still a Bastard, which was technically, if you trace it back, the beginning of Hollowed Out, because that EP had two songs that we re-recorded for the first Hollowed Out album 2 years later.
Okay.
And I think for me, musically, this was a very transitional time because a lot of the heavier bands I had been listening to for the past 5, 6 plus years were starting to change directions, starting to lose some of their edge, maybe starting to feel a little bit behind the curve, including, you know, I mean, actually, I was out on Between the Buried and Me well before this, but all the stuff from that range was starting to like, yeah, just go in a different direction. I, you know, probably was still checking stuff out, but not really listening to a lot of it. Things like Born of Osiris, which had just taken a completely different direction by that point. And I was just like, yeah, not for me. But I was seeking out more of like the local hardcore bands and some of the other stuff, you know, that was more focused on like the heavy hardcore or what North Texas people like to call metalcore that Dave and I were working on. And, you know, I was also listening to like a lot of alt pop stuff still. I think I talked about like Lights and Purity Ring and stuff in one of the previous episodes. Mm-hmm. But I think in 2013, that first Churches album came out. And I remember listening to the Tegan and Sarah album that came out that year. It was like real poppy and I just thought it was fun. But I was, I'll tell you what I was really getting into was a lot of the new wave of pop punk. And I guess what would be like fourth wave emo that was coming out. And I'm talking about stuff like The Story So Far, because What You Don't See is one of my all-time favorite albums that came out that year. And I think I listened to that on repeat most of the year. Citizen, the album Youth, came out that year. Balance and Composure, The Things We Think We're Missing. I loved those albums as well. So that was a lot of the kind of stuff I was getting into around that time.
I like it.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, and a bunch of albums from that scene that I know Aaron loves came out that year and around that time that probably made it into your listening within the next couple of years as well.
Yeah, that sounds about right. You're probably right on that.
Yeah.
Also, a quick shout out to Sky Ferreira's Nighttime My Time, which I was also listening to and forgot about. That was a huge one for me.
Hell yeah. Guys, that was a lot of information as far as what Twisted was doing, what the world was doing. And what we were doing.
Yeah.
I think we have a good amount of background information. So we should get into this album, get into what we need to know. And then after that, go track by track, baby. So, woo. Eric, what do we need to know about A New Nightmare?
Yeah, I've got a bunch of info on this one because I think a lot happened between them leaving Psychopathic and this album coming out. And in doing this research, I admire their hustle and their promotional efforts because they really went all in for it. So they originally announced this album on May 20th, 2013 via their Twitter. No date or anything given at the time, but the cover art was shown and it was called A New Nightmare. And on the cover, it said The Mixtape. Now, this changes, but there could be an argument made that it's not an EP. It's not an album. It's a mixtape because that's what they initially announced it as. We'll come back to this in a moment.
Yeah.
On June 22nd, pre-orders went live for the album. You could get a signed copy through Twisted.com for $7.99. On June 28th, they announced a contest to win a personalized autographed copy of the album. I assume that just means they put your name on it as well as their signatures. Here's what you had to do. Go to their Instagram and post the funniest comment on a picture of what looked like a young girl standing next to a giant pair of balls with a face on it.
Okay.
I kept looking at this picture, trying to understand what it was. It looks like a costume that there's armholes in the side and why this child is standing next to it. And what, I mean, whether that's supposed to be a big chin and there's more of a costume that goes with it or not, but this is a weird ass picture.
Did you, you didn't throw a comment up all these years later?
I did. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Good.
I made an Instagram account, went and found this and commented, looks like a big pair of balls.
Ooh, fingers crossed for that win.
Good.
Yeah. I'm hoping I win that CD.
Yeah.
All right. On July 1st, they released a studio video for the song Screaming Out. What a studio video means is them walking down the street, going into a studio and yelling at the engineer, performing roughly half of the song and smoking a lot of weed.
Paul's carrying a giant iPad down the street.
Yeah. Yeah. And he yells at the engineer, don't look me in the face. And then clarifies later, he looked me in the eyes, like he meant eyes.
Yeah.
Very, very weird. On July 3rd, they released a new song called Unjust Love on Fearnet.com. interesting place to drop a song, but okay.
The name of that song sounds like something Violent J would release today.
Yeah, kind of does.
For the record, so with the Fearnet thing and the thing about the convention stuff, these guys are gunning for the horror community at this time.
Oh, for sure.
They're doing a lot of Walking Dead related content online, start hooking up with more and more horror actors and people. So yeah, that's...
Well, that all comes into play for this album. And I'm about to talk about that right now, because on July 7th, a promotional poster surfaced online. Somebody had taken a photo of it at the Days of the Dead Horror Festival. The poster basically reiterated some of the information from that early post, but this time showed the album cover and the words, "the mixtape" have been removed. So now it just says "A New Nightmare," sort of indicating that it's not just a mixtape, but an album. And it also featured a release date, 7/30/13, with a list of 20 special guests. So this is an argument not to call it a mixtape, because they made a point to remove mixtape from the album.
Yeah.
On July 15th, they released the song "Falling Down" on Hip Hop DX. On July 17th, Fearnet.com published an interview with Twisted in which they talked about playing Rob Zombie's Great American Nightmare, which I think is another con.
I think it might have been like a music festival, like a day long thing.
Yeah, I couldn't really tell whether it was purely a music festival or it was some sort of horror thing that had music at it, but
hard to tell. Yeah.
Yes, it was an experiential horror event that also had musical performances.
They talked about doing the third leg of their Abominations tour, but most interestingly, they discussed future projects, not only including music, but also movies, cartoons, and a clothing line. On July 23rd, they announced that they had reached a deal to distribute A New Nightmare nationally on iTunes on August 20th. This was also physicals in stores. Interesting that I guess I wasn't clear when I started doing my research that they didn't have a distribution deal. The only place they were selling this was on their website. So they reached a deal with one of the distribution companies to get it out into stores physically and put it on iTunes. Distribution is so weird and different now than it used to be, because now I can go to CD Baby or one of those and I can distribute on all platforms.
Yeah. It's weird to think that, like, not that long ago, getting something on streaming or iTunes was like a chore.
Yeah. You had to work with a distributor or a label to do it. It's
crazy. It's strange.
That's not that long.
I mean, even in... I guess, what was that,
2016?
When we signed, I'm back to the Eulogy thing. When we signed with them, that deal included distribution on platforms, on like streaming platforms through Sony Red. So I guess that was just a thing back then.
That
was the only way you could do it. This August 20th date, though, later changed to September 3rd. So
took a while.
Yeah, it did take a while. So on July 29th, pre-orders started arriving at people's houses, which was a day before the scheduled release date, if you remember, on July 30th, 2013. And immediately people started posting about it. And then the next day, on the 30th, A New Nightmare was actually released. It released independently by Twisted LLC without the assistance of an actual record label. This album was recorded at The Disc, which, if you remember when we go back, House of Crazies and even early Twisted stuff was recorded at The Disc. Mm-hmm. And this is where they met like Fritz and some of the other people that they worked with early on.
Yeah. So right back to where they did Most Tasteless, Most of Freak Show. This is, they're going home.
Yeah. Full circle for them. Mm-hmm. The songs on this album were produced by Seven, Eric Davey, and a group called The Dead Beats, which we haven't talked about previously. Robbie, if you have info there and you want to share it, please feel free. So when the album did release, it hit number 115 on the Billboard Top 200, just, you know, right there in the middle, which is pretty good considering they did this all on their own and didn't really have a great distribution deal to start with. Number 17 on the Top Rap Albums chart, number 23 on the Top Independent Albums chart. The standard version of this album has 9 tracks. And on those 9 tracks, there are 16 different featured artists, from what I can tell, although some of them are groups with multiple MCs. There are also additional versions of this album, each with a 10th bonus track. So the national release version of the album included Monstrosity, the Angel Spit remix, which is the same, well, not the same, same people, but also featuring ABK and Aqualio, something like that. I heard them say it in one of the YouTube videos. The SoundCloud version of the album, yes, there was a SoundCloud version of the album, included a song called How I Live Super High Remix featuring Proof, which that song was originally on Independence Day. And then the iTunes version of the album included Down With Us, the Angel Spit remix. Angel Spit, I had to look up because I wasn't familiar with them, but they're a European, like, industrial techno kind of
interesting,
like, group that it seems like they're very aligned with things like KMFDM and Skinny Puppy and some of those, like,
okay,
late 80s, early 90s industrial type groups.
Huh.
I don't know. I guess they live in Chicago now. This is a V-Ron thing. I mean,
Chicago is home of a lot of that stuff. So that makes sense.
Yeah. Mm. They released at least three music videos to support this album. Down With Us, The Deep End, and Sick Man. I don't think there were more than that. And Down With Us. No, they also did that studio music video.
Yeah.
That, for Screaming Out.
Kind of a teaser for the album.
Yeah.
Slash music video.
So there's an insert inside the album that advertised a new full length that it's in quotes. So it was hard to know if the album that they intended to release was called The Moment You've Been All Waiting For, or whether they just thought that their new album would be the moment people were all waiting for. But immediately upon receiving the album, even the day early, people were posting online, new album called The Moment You've All Been Waiting For is coming out. I tend to think they actually intended to call it that. Robbie, do you know?
I do think that was the case. I think that became The Darkness, which we'll get to later.
Ah.
But I think there are still people like Mike Spahn of Juggalo Judgment who like to bring it up and go, whatever happened to that, huh? And I go, I don't know, they just changed the name, man, stop.
So the only re-release that I can find was a vinyl re-release by Magic Ninja on November 30th 2018, same cover art and everything as the original CD release, no bonus tracks included.
I remember walking to the record store by my work and buying that vinyl reissue, which does not feel like it was over 5 years ago, so that's wild.
You know, I am glad 2018 is more than 5 years ago, but I'm also can't believe it was more than 5 years ago.
Also, just a quick highlight thing. You brought up all those music videos, which I think is really worth talking about because, mm-hmm. you know, I think before this, the last Twisted music video would have been from Wicked in 2009. Is that correct?
Oh, wow.
Mm.
There's nothing from Abominations, nothing from Heartbroken and Homicidal. So, yeah, it would have had to have been. So I think this is one of their frustrations with Psychopathic, was there was no budget for videos or no emphasis on making videos. And by the late 2000s, early 2010s, I mean, videos on YouTube were a huge deal.
Yeah.
So we talked about Blurred Lines. What a phenomenon that was. You know, people were watching videos. So
yeah, I mean, people are still talking about it to this day in 2024.
Yeah.
I watched it last week.
I watched a bit of it today, just as we were talking about it. But yeah, so I think this was one of their... You can kind of see the seeds of the things that they wanted to do differently. One of them was pump out a bunch of videos. The other one, you know, they're going to more conventions and stuff, playing with different types of acts. So it's a really interesting place. And also, I think it's worth noting or highlighting that this was all done as just like Twisted LLC or whatever. Like, this was no Magic Ninja. All of that is down the line. This is just Twisted and George finding out how to do this on their own in real time.
Mm. Well, the only thing to do now is, well, two things to do. We need to talk about the album cover.
Sure.
I'm ready to talk about this album cover. There is only one to talk about today. Thank God. Woo.
And going forward, that's going to be the norm, as most of these have not been reissued 100 times.
Hell yeah.
Good. Yes. So on the front, we have Twisted in sort of a gunmetal font. Or gunmetal color in their logo, A New Nightmare in quotations, and then the two of them boys just screaming on a staircase.
Yep.
Yeah. Spiral staircase, looking at, they must be in like a, I don't know, lighthouse or something. But what I want to know is, a new nightmare. I'm doing air quotes right now as I say that. Is it because it's not a new nightmare, or is it because it's not actually a nightmare? Like, I don't understand.
Oh, why the quotes? I think just a unthought out choice graphic design wise is my guess.
Sure. You got the parental advisory sort of faded in the corner.
Yeah, sure. Half transparent there.
Paul really working on his hair growth.
Paul rocking the Spider One hair.
Yeah.
This is actually, I mean, for a cover that's just a photo of the band, it looks good. Good photo. Yeah, I love that they went with a very monochromatic sort of look here, and it's well put together.
Yeah, and for like a mixtape, EP, album, who knows? You know.
Yeah,
I think they did. They did what they needed to do here.
Yeah,
it's definitely. You know, tapping through, everything is very, you know, the vibe is very consistent throughout. We have some advertisements for twistedshop.com, their social medias, and then promo for a new full length album coming soon with I really like the logo that they use for that promo picture.
Yeah,
it's cool. Kind of a bit reminiscent of the like Guts and Eyeballs one that they did for Green Book, but like almost looks like bones or something.
Bones,
yeah. I assume that putting that panel with all of their socials and their websites was key here, because people are getting this physical CD and going, oh, I guess I can't go to like Psychopathic to find their stuff anymore.
Yeah.
Which I guess if you had this, you might have known, since it was, I mean, we said it was only available on their website, right?
Well, at first, until that, the end of summer, beginning of fall, that was in stores.
So, yeah, I mean, this is really says, hey, here is where you can find us now, not where you used to be able to.
Yeah.
Overall, solid album cover, I think. It's not, you know, the most standout in the world, but there's nothing really that I want to shit on about it.
Yeah, same. It's professionally done. Looks good.
The vinyl's a cool dark red. I think everything looks good. Well done.
Well done. Let's go track by track.
Okay.
We have 9 tracks to speak about today. As Eric mentioned, a myriad of features that we can't wait to get into. So let's start with track 1, Wake Me Up. Eric, do you sleep?
No, man, how could I sleep on a cover of the most famous Evanescence song? Not possible. No, this is just an intro. This is, you know, about a minute and a half-ish. And if it was 45 seconds, I think it'd be pretty cool. There's a point where it feels like this thing naturally ends and it just keeps going. And it's sort of sparse. It's just samples of a voice saying Twisted and some record scratches and like a really long drawn out like bass swell. And I'm going to let it go because it's an intro, but I would have chopped this down a bit personally.
Oh yeah.
Robbie, what do you think about Wake Me Up?
Yeah, it's too long for sure. I think it sounds kind of cool though. I kind of forget it exists here. I think because I don't, if I'm on, you know, my local streaming application, I rarely am going to push play on this. I'll go straight to the next track. But
yeah,
for what it is, it's pretty cool. Out of the Night, Twas It a Dream, Nor But a Nightmare. I don't know. Maybe they're theming it with the album, or maybe they're saying, hey, we're out of the nightmare. We're waking up. We're starting a new era for ourselves. So there's some cool theming there. But overall, pretty basic. Yeah, just says Twisted a lot of times.
Yep.
Aaron, talk to me about Wake Me Up. And Wake Me Up Tomorrow if you could.
Yeah, don't have a lot of notes on this. You know, it's fine. I think it's produced very well. The production value is super high on this intro track. Record scratches sound cool. Could have been shorter. Those are my thoughts.
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah. Well, then let's move on to track 2, which is the first proper song, I think, on the album here. This one is called Down With Us, and it's featuring Recognize from Mayday.
Mm-hmm. Strange music.
Robbie, what do you think about this track?
I'm a big fan of this one. I think the hook is great. I think the verses are great. This is a good, like, hey, we're back, baby. We're starting fresh. Hey, hopefully you're fucking down with us. I like that, you know, they call us strange. They call us Twisted. There's one person from Strange Music. There's also Twisted. There's also rumors at this time that Twisted was going to move to Strange. So interesting play there. But yeah, I like the song a lot. I like the verses. I think Monoxide is really coming with some heat. This really opens us up to the era of, wait a minute, is that, are they saying something about something here? Which will continue for the next 10 years, I will say. These lines like, tell me who gives it how you want it when you need it, when the rest of them retreat and deplete it and then even turn their backs on the people who really need it. I'm just stating facts. You need to watch the shit you tat on your back. Me and Jamie, we ain't a couple of hacks roaming the industry looking for fat checks. A lot of speculation that that was a, you know, ICP diss, which that speculation, like I said, 10 years of that is coming. So strap in for people wondering who they're referring to on a lot of these tracks. Yeah, I think the beat's cool. I like the video a lot. I think the music video was really cool and like a real like, man, why are these fucking guys not making videos for all these albums they had? They're in sort of the Abominations paint. They're sewing bodies together. And then at the end, the bodies are dancing with them. Yeah, I think as they came back and said, hey, here we are. We're Twisted. We're back, baby. And I say, glad to have you. Aaron, talk to us about Down With Us.
Down With Us. So this one really feels like just a reintroduction to Twisted in this new era. And I think they did it really well. The beat is really solid. The hook is catchy. You know, you can tell it's a reintroduction, you know, with lines like we doing our own thing and gain some new enjoyment, which is pretty sick. Like, hey, guys, we're back. We're doing our own thing. And it feels refreshing. And I think it kind of how refreshed they feel kind of shows in this track. You know, they definitely have not lost a step. Flow wise, verses are really solid. Production value is really high quality for them going off and being independent. I just love how Madrox starts off the first verse. Temporary pain and everlasting images, just like the tattoos that cover my appendages, I think is really good. Good line there. But no, this is a solid track. This is them coming back, you know, into the world after 9 months, you know, being rebirthed after being inside of the musical world's pregnant belly for 9 months.
That is a good way to put it. Yeah.
Thank Weird. You. Yeah. I think this track is solid. I like what they're trying to say with it. And I think that they did it well. Eric, what do you think about Down With Us featuring Recognize?
No. Recognize. There's no G in there.
Recognize.
Yeah, there you go. I mean, I think this track sounds pretty cool. However, I think if you took away some of the violent imagery in the lyrics, and even from the video, if you took away the makeup and the, you know, zombie bikini dance party that's going on in the video, this would sound like a pretty normal mainstream rap song to me. Actually, there's like this piano sample in the song that's super reminiscent of the music in Still Dre. Like, I kept hearing this, like, you know, repeating piano part. And I'm like, why does this sound familiar? And I'm like, oh, that's why, because it sounds just like something that would have been in that song. In a pair of J's with a meat cleaver, quick to clear the block with a chop, call it the street sweeper. Still doing this. I don't dislike the song, but it also, I don't know, I don't think this is what I was expecting Twisted to come out the gate with. The hook sounds really good. Overall, I dig the track. I will say every time I listen to it and it gets to the part where when Paul says, I'll put a needle in your eye, it sounds like he says, call it a pickle after that. But I'm pretty sure he's saying peak hole.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But it sounds, call it a peak hole. And I'm like, a peak hole? Put a needle in my eye and call it a pickle? Okay.
Call it a pickle into your mind. Well, let me put a needle in your
eye and call it a pickle into your also, mind. Shout out to the ROC who shows up in the video but isn't in the song.
Yeah, which is also cool because he had been just not around for years at that point. So this was like, ooh, what's he doing here?
I like that his face paint is just one little bit on one side of his face. He's like, listen, I'm not into painting my whole face. And they like had to come to a compromise with it. Will you do some? Will you make it look like you went to a fair and did the like butterfly face painting on one side? And he was like, fine, I'll do it.
Yeah, he had that from when he was briefly on Psychopathic slash Hatchet House.
Yeah, he was doing that one EP there.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, I did forget about that, which is that, yeah, ROC had been completely not around at all in music whatsoever. So him being in that video, and I mean, obviously he comes up later here, but it's just like, oh, they brought this guy back. Okay, there's something happening here.
We'll hear about him more later.
Sure.
I'm sure.
Are you sure?
Positive.
Okay. Yeah, me too. Absolutely 100% positive.
Okay, I'll take your word for it. I don't know if I believe you or not, but I'm going to have to just assume you're correct. But for now, let's not talk about ROC. Let's talk about the next song, which I like to call, because it's the title, Unjust Love, featuring Mickey, My Dick Avalon, and Danny Boone Alexander of Rehab. Aaron, tell me about this track.
Unjust Love sounds like the name of a track that Violent J would put out now.
Yeah.
Good one.
Hey, thanks. Yeah. Weird seeing Mickey Avalon on anything in 2013. Of My Dick fame. My dick don't fit down the chimney. Your dick is like a kid from the Philippines.
Oh, are those the lyrics?
That's the quality that you get from Mickey Avalon.
Yeah.
And boy, let me tell you, 14-year-old me, eating it up, slurping it up. Not his dick, but the song.
We've talked about this before.
Yeah.
We have. Beat I think is pretty cool on Unjust Love. This is a song about, you know, being a toxic psychopath and your partner trying to get you to not do that, and you're stalking them. So, you know, in the theming that we've seen from Twisted before, this is not far out of their realm of expertise. You know, I think that they're the verses, the flow patterns are kind of weird, but they kind of work at the same time. And there's also just some bizarre shit being said. You know, Monoxide says something about she wouldn't have had them arrest me for trespassing and leaving my pinky finger inside of a box she found on top of her panty drawer.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, fine. You cut off your own pinky and leave it with the panties. Why not?
I gotta say, in that line, I think panty drawer gives me more pause than cutting off your pinky.
He delivers it weird because of the beat.
Yeah, and also just anyone saying panty drawer, I don't know, I'd be like, that's where your underwear are, or whatever.
But yeah, but also panty drawer is kind of a weird thing to say. Yeah. In general, I agree. You know, I think the song is fine for what it is. There's nothing super standout about it, but I do think that they could have cut it before that You're So Beautiful bridge and just ended it there at like 3 minutes.
Oh.
But those are my thoughts. Eric, tell me yours.
My first thought is ICP did the Stalker song better.
Mm.
Also, what is this hook? She don't love me like I do? What does that mean? Like she doesn't love me like I love me? Or are they trying to say she don't love me like I love her?
I think it's the latter.
Yeah, yeah.
Why don't they just say that then?
I agree.
Well, on Genius here, it says she don't love me like I do her.
I don't think it says her in the song, though.
But when I listen to it, I don't think I hear the her. I agree.
No. Yeah. I just hear she don't love me like I do. She don't love me. Anyway, you know, three tracks in, and I'm trying to understand the music on this album. And I don't want to say it's boring because it's well produced, but I feel like you could take any of these beats and give it to any mainstream radio rapper, and nobody would think anything of it. They wouldn't be like, oh, this is kind of a weird, creepy beat. They'd be like, oh, yeah, this is easy to listen to and kind of cool, which for a song like this, really weird choice musically. And as much as I appreciate them bringing in talented vocalists to handle the hooks, which both so far sound really good. I think it just further adds more of that mainstream vibe to the tracks where, you know, you bring in a vocalist to handle the hook and it kind of gives it that prepackaged rap song sound. It's not a bad thing. I don't personally care for it very much. This song just doesn't do a whole lot for me. But I do want to note this. This song is the last time on the album I like anything Jamie does. After this, every time he shows up, I skip to the next track because he does this like stuffy nose, high pitch thing that I just do not like the way it sounds. I don't know what changed after these first two tracks, but it definitely doesn't sound the same.
Maybe he had a cold.
Maybe it's possible. Robbie, what do you think about this song?
Yeah, I think this is okay. I was happy to see that Mickey Avalon did almost nothing on here.
Yeah.
Because I remember seeing that name on here when I first, you know, got this and going, oh my God, this fucking guy. And then, if his name wasn't credited, I would not have a clue he was involved.
But he says his name at the beginning.
Yes, that is true. Well, if he didn't say that. But so he, I think, was on Suburban Noise at the time. So I think that's where that connection comes into play. But yeah, I think I like Jamie's verse. I like it's weird. It's interesting because these guys are only months off of Abominations, where they like locked into a very specific thing vocally and kind of rhyme pattern wise and whatnot. And then here, just a few months later, you know, Jamie's already like, okay, what's next? What am I doing next? And he's trying different things. And I think that's cool. I think this one sounds good. Fun little sing-songy delivery. But overall, I think this is a pretty like mediocre song. I don't think it is nearly as good as Down With Us. So being the second track, it's like, oh, okay. Yeah. This is also a song. I think this is also where it plays into the like mixtape vibe of the thing. Like, this is not a consistent record front to back of like, they're going for this sound. And you know, it's like, this is pretty clearly like where you go like, oh, okay, they're throwing a lot of stuff at the wall and seeing what sticks kind of thing.
You think that? Really?
Yeah, I think so.
I do not feel that this feels inconsistent production wise or tone wise. It seems like all of these songs were created around the same time for
Definitely
the purpose
that.
Of going on this album.
Well, yeah, I think that's true, but I don't think they are like if you put together like an album like Abominations that just was last. There's a consistent tone to everything, whereas I feel like
Robbie.
Yeah.
They are never consistent on, maybe once or twice have we heard an album that felt like there was a consistent tone to it. They're always all over the place trying different stuff.
I think it's more prevalent here.
Okay. We will agree to disagree on that.
And especially in stuff we get to later. I think it's more of like, when I say mixtape, I don't mean like mix CD or like compilation by any means. I mean in the way rappers make mixtapes where they're like working on some new ideas, some new flows, and then like putting out, you know, 10 tracks or so, and then we'll kind of use those ideas on the bigger real album later kind of thing.
Yeah, I know what you're saying.
Yeah, that's my thoughts on this one.
Well, time to get to the next track. Let's go ahead and get into it. The Deep End. Hope You Can Swim. Featuring Dominic and Caskey. Eric, what are your thoughts?
I don't know who those people are, but I will say that there are parts of this track that sound absolutely fucking great. The stuff that I said previously about how this has sort of a mainstream sound to it still applies here, but I like the vibe. I like some of the hook. Is he saying something about little robots though? I'm going to admit I didn't go and look at lyrics. I just listened to the music, but the thing they can keep is the 20 seconds of moaning after that, because it kind of sounds like robots, like a sleepy robot on a roller coaster. And I'm like, ooh, that's got to go away because I don't like that. I can't get into the way that Jamie delivers his verse. It just doesn't sound good to me. I don't know how to articulate what I'm feeling about this album or collection of songs or whatever it is when I say that it's got that mainstream vibe. Mainstream music does not equate to being bad, and having quality production and singing is never a bad thing, but there's something about this that no matter how bloody you make your video or how many spooky references you add to your lyrics, there's something about these songs that does not have the edge that I'm hoping for from a Twisted release. I get that this is their chance to break free from the box that Psychopathic had them in, and that they're trying to reach a wider audience with their new musical freedom, and they're trying to keep some of their personality in there while making music that sounds more in line with what's popular. I don't know how to say what I'm trying to say, but I like more underground stuff because of the way it sounds and because what it does appeals to me. And when you start stripping those layers away, I can still recognize the quality of a song. It just doesn't hold my interest the same way. So there are high points here in this. And if it was from a different artist, I might feel different about it. Maybe. I don't know if I'm, you know, my vision is clouded because I'm thinking this is twisted and it's supposed to be a specific thing. But there's also things I just don't like at all about this song. I don't know. I know that's more about overall feelings here than it is about the song itself. But Robbie, I'd love you to provide some thoughts.
Sure. I've got some. Let's see. Yeah. So song wise, I'm a big fan of this one. I like the song a lot. I like the video a lot. Caskey is the rapper on the third verse, who was on Cash Money for a while. He was just I think it's an underground rapper, and then had a mixtape that got in the hands of people at Cash Money and was signed there for a while, but I don't think actually released anything under them. It was just kind of in limbo on that label for a long time, and then, you know, put out some mixtapes and stuff. But I mean, he's good. I don't think I've heard him on anything besides this track, maybe, but I like his verse quite a bit. I do wish on his verse he didn't say gone as the last line or the last word, because he's, you know, going through this whole thing. And then he says, memoirs of the suicidal. I guess my father is my truest idol. And if he didn't say anything after that, I think you would go, oh, did his dad kill himself? Damn, that's crazy. Like, this is that's dark. But then he says gone, and it's kind of like, oh, maybe your dad left. Yeah, yeah, me too. Ooh, big whoop. Takes a little bit of the edge off of it. But overall, I think this is a cool song. I like that Madrox does the like kind of monotone spoken thing. I think that's a new thing we haven't gotten a lot from him. Maybe some on like Wicked a little bit, but it's out of the box for him a little bit. I like the hook a lot. I like the dark, you know, just fucking suicidal lyrics, really. I mean, this is depressed stuff. I like depressed twisted a lot. So yeah, this is nothing but positives on my end. But it seems like there's a difference that needs some splitting. And I would love to know if Aaron had any thoughts there.
Here are my thoughts as follows.
Oh, good. Official.
I think the beat is really solid. It's dark as hell to match the subject matter perfectly. You know, at its core, I think the song, it feels a lot about, you know, being fundamentally different from the world and struggling to accept that and navigate that, right? You know, and I think that Jamie Madrox on the first verse sounds weird, doesn't sound like Jamie at all. But I think objectively, it's a pretty solid verse. What kind of gets me with this track is the hook feels like it grinds the song to a halt every time we get there. And I think it's because the beat scales back and the vocals are more long and drawn out sort of singing, that it just feels like we're coming to a halt, and then a verse picks back up and we're like, all right, we're going to keep moving, and then another hook, and then it just sort of grinds to a halt again. So I'm not a huge fan of that, but you know, this song content wise, I agree with Robbie. Depressed Twisted, not bad. Pretty much a fan of them, but not a fan of the hook.
Okay. So Dominic is not doing it for you there.
Oh no.
See, I liked the singing part of the hook. I don't like the whatever happens after the singing part of the hook. But so
a little
I'm in between.
Moans. Yeah, I like it. I'm on board.
What a spectrum of thoughts.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It is a whole broad spectrum mm-hmm. of thoughts. Mm-hmm. Let's move on to track five. This one's called Sick Man, and it's featuring Blaze. Robbie, what do you think?
Yeah, this song's fine. I don't know. I've never been that excited about this one. I think the video's cool. They got Kane Hodder in there. And, you know, it's I think the highlight of this song is the music video. As far as the song goes, I think it's fine. The like, cover my eyes with a cloak at night. Like the way Jamie delivers this has always felt a little strange to me. Like it's different than what he does often, but I think it sounds like it's a microphone thing or something more than him doing a different thing, maybe, or like a lack of layering or something?
I don't think a difference in a microphone could make the difference for this, but you never know.
I just mean like maybe it's different like effects than they were using at the old studio or something, but something about the way his voice sounds is different here.
It's a different delivery from him.
Yeah.
100%.
But overall, I think the chorus is kind of weak on this. I think the verses are all fine, but generally it's just kind of like, eh, we needed to throw a horror track on here. This one will do. It doesn't stand out to me really at all, but I think it's, you know, when I was listening to it on the album, I wasn't like, damn, I got to skip this shit. I was just kind of like, yeah, this song. I know this one. But yeah, Aaron, do you know this one? It's called Sick Man. It's featuring Blaze. Tell me about it. Production by Seven.
Hey, Sick Man.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just like everything else, I think this beat is really solid. And I'm very impressed with the production value. I mean, just overall, this album so far has been really well produced, I think. First verse, Madrox, not a fan. Second verse, Paul, fan. Third verse, Blaze, fan. I think Blaze sounded really good. Outside of that, you know, song's okay. I really liked Monoxide and Blaze. I wasn't a fan of Jamie on this. But Eric, how do you feel about this?
They put a decent bit of money, I think, into this video. Although the audio in this video was garbage. They should have hired an A1 because I don't think there was anybody handling the audio for the video itself. But yeah, you've got Kane Hodder from the WWE. You've got Sid Haig, who was in a bunch of Rob Zombie movies. This is the one that has a sequel to the video.
Yeah,
that's for a different song that automatically played on YouTube for me. And I was like, what is this song? And I'm like, oh, it's not on this album. So we'll get to that in the future. This beat, this sounds like Strange Music to me. This sounds like a big time Strange Music beat. It's one of the few things on this album that does have that different dark sound to me, that feels maybe more stereotypical of, you know, horrorcore from this, you know, team of people. I also wasn't a big fan of Jamie's first verse, but when I do get through it, once I hit the hook, I'm out, because he's got his eye on you. And I'm like, no, I can't fucking do this shit. I do love Blaze's verse. Blaze is the best thing on this song because his verse really reminds me of something he would do on a Dark Lotus track that is pretty cool. So much like the last one, there are cool things about this track that there are moments that I'm like, oh, I like that part. But there's enough stuff on it that I'm like, ooh, I really don't like that aspect. So I'm having trouble finding a winner here. But those are my thoughts on Sick Man.
All right.
Sick Man.
Well, hell. I think probably the best bet and best course of action would be to go to the next song. Does that seem in line with everyone's
Let's do
goals?
It, yeah.
Okay. Good plan. Good. The next song is called Screaming Out. Again, we've got Dominic here. Our old friend Dominic and Irv DeFenom, who I have never heard of before or after this track. Aaron, tell us about Screaming Out. Are you screaming with joy or screaming with anger at this one?
I'm just screaming that this one exists.
Oh, okay.
I actually think the song is a pretty solid track up and down. If this were to, and maybe this is getting into overall thoughts, I think I like a lot of these songs more than I would if we would have rolled right into the post-psychopathic years instead of doing all of the songs we missed and hearing all of the stuff that fell through the cracks.
Sure.
But I think this is a solid track. Another beat that I really like, verses that I really like. There's not a lot of pointless bullshit on this album. It's just kind of back-to-back tracks after track after track that don't really... And I wrote this note before I heard the next track. You know, not a lot of fluff, not a lot of pointlessness, a lot of good, solid tracks that kind of, you know, even if they don't have a large thing to say, they still have things to say. You know, Screaming Out is talking about, you know, screaming out for help, being depressed, being psychotic, being deranged. A banger of a song. I really liked Irv DeFenom. Never heard of him before. I will probably check him out. I'm not going to lie. I'll probably never hear him again unless he's on a twisted track. But yeah, no, I think Jamie and Paul both did good. I think that the hook is, you know, pretty solid, and the features are pretty solid as well. Eric, what do you think?
So Irv DeFenom apparently did a lot of songs with people like Tech N9ne and Chris Calico in the late 2000s, early 2010s, and then kind of dropped off and changed his name to Nowdays, and then I guess just recently has changed it back to Irv DeFenom. And I guess there was some beef between him and Tech for a while at some point. So there you go. If you listen to a bunch of Tech and Chris Calico, good chance maybe you've heard this guy before. I don't have big thoughts on this song. I think the hook sounds good. I think Paul's verse sounds good. Jamie's verse, I didn't really like. Not a big surprise. I don't know what the heck is going on with him on this album. His rapping is still quality. I just don't like what he's doing vocal performance-wise. But yeah, like Aaron said, this is kind of a, you know, more straightforward, less BS type song. It's not a huge standout, but it's fine. Robbie, what do you think about Screaming Out?
Yeah, I'm screaming out for joy on this one. I like this. I like these sad boy twisted songs. We got 7 on the beat, solid production. I don't know whatever happened to this guy, Dominic, but he is all over this thing on these, you know, more sad sounding songs. And I think he does a great job. I like hearing him on here. Irv DeFenom does good. Yeah. I mean, again, it's not, I don't have 1,000 things to say about it, you know, specifically, because it's kind of just flows with the rest of the album. But I think it's another top notch, you know, hey, happy to have it. Good song.
Perfect. Well, let's move to the next track. I'm so happy Eric's starting this off. This is a song called Wasted featuring, let me clear my throat. You know, let me get some water here.
Yeah. If we need to take a break before we do this one, that's.
You're going to have to do this at the end of the episode anyway. It's rough that you have to do it again here.
Yeah, this is all our patrons.
Featuring Ajax, Blaze, Buckshot, Ja Red of Head PE, Jelly Roll, Lil White, Johnny Richer of Cottonmouth Kings, and Liquid Assassin.
I like that you messed up the two people I least want to hear on this. That's
awesome. I couldn't give less of a fuck. Yeah.
So, you know, when I was putting this outline together, I noticed that there was a song that was 10 minutes long. But when I did my first listen, I was working, doing other things around the house, just listening to the music and enjoying it. And not paying attention to song names or lengths or anything. And this track started and I was like, fuck, this is, I hate to say the word, this sucks, because that's subjective, right? It's very subjective what sucks or doesn't suck to a person. But in my mind, I was like, this sucks. And so I'm like, it'll end soon. So I keep doing my thing. 5 minutes in, I'm like, holy fuck, how long is the song? And I checked, I'm like, of course it's this goddamn song that's the 10-minute one. Do people like songs about getting drunk and doing drugs? Is this for somebody? Is this their fucking thing where they're like, oh, hell yeah, I like hearing 10 fucking people talk about doing drugs and drinking in a really generic way. It just does nothing at all for me. It really tanks this album at this point. I'm like, why do I have to get through this? I'm pretty sure there's a Dixie Cup reference in here as well. Am I wrong on that? I didn't. I feel like I heard one.
I didn't catch it, but I wouldn't be shocked, yeah. Give a fuck, though. Hand me the Dixie Cup and a Red
Bull, and I'm gonna mix it up with something special to make you. I listened to this album 3 times and never once got past maybe 4 or 5 minutes in, which I have zero regrets about, knowing that all I missed was Cottonmouth Kings and Head PE, which I'm okay with never hearing. And I know it's against our rules to not listen to an entire song or album, but I make the rules, so fuck you. Robbie, what do you think about Wasted?
I got a spoiler of sorts, if you want that, for starters, which is the way I think of this song title wise is Wasted Part 1, because I believe at this point there are 4 of these.
Hold on. I am writing my 2 weeks right now.
So, yeah, strap in for that. I think some are better than others.
Yeah, I'm busy that day.
Okay. To answer your question, do people like songs about drinking and doing drugs? Yes, I think that's a very popular subgenre of rap. Look at something like 3-6 Mafia. You know, that's like a lot of their content.
I generally don't. I mean, I've heard some songs, but that's about it.
But this song, do people like that? I couldn't tell you. I don't like it. It's way too long. The beat is not good enough to last 9 minutes. It's not like from around this same time, there's a Odd Future track called Oldie that is maybe longer than this, actually. And it's just the everyone on the label going back and forth. It's 10.5 minutes. And the beat they chose for it is a nice, you know, kind of minimal, does what it needs to do. And, you know, the rapper's kind of charisma carry it. This beat is somehow too busy and in the way, but also too boring for this. So it's just this kind of like kind of industrial-ish, like electronic-y grinding kind of thing for fucking ever. Madrox, I think, does great. I like hearing him on here. Jelly Roll, who is now a huge celebrity. I wonder, actually, if this song has become more streamed since he got famous. Like, are more people listening to Wasted than they used to? Also, unfortunate that this, I think, is the only song Twisted have with Jelly Roll, because he could really be boosting their streaming numbers. But I don't think anyone's like, damn, I got to hear this 9-minute track of rappers I've never heard of before to hear my guy Jelly Roll for, you know, 1 minute. Ajax is here. We talked about him. He says, get comfy, hold the wiener, which is a fun line. Liquid Assassin's an interesting choice on here. I think he was on LSP at the time. He had formerly been in a group on Strange Music. He's a good rapper. Glad to hear him. The Blaze part's interesting, or just, you know, a little singy part. It's the first time we get Buckshot in the Twisted trajectory, which I'm going to leave that judgment free and just say that's a fact. I like Lil White on it. He comes from that 3-6 world, and I think he sounds good on a track like this, and has a gift for talking about getting fucked up. If this was just like a Twisted Jelly Roll Lil White track, I think I would like it. It'd be, you know, 4 minutes or so, and the rappers that I actually think do better jobs on it. But we don't need Jared from Head PE. We don't need Johnny Richter. I don't need Ajax. I mean, I could go down the line of most of it. I don't need Buckshot. Also funny to me that multiple people on this song are sober now after having serious drug problems. So they weren't lying, but you know, maybe their tone should have been a little bit less celebratory and a little more like, eh, you know what? I've got some demons to think about.
Shocking that people on this track had problems with substance abuse disorder.
Yeah.
I can't believe that.
But yeah, no, I don't really like this at all. I think it has its moments, but those moments do not make up for me caring about over 9 minutes of this song. So yeah. Mm. But Aaron, please tell us this is your favorite track on the album and maybe your favorite song to be made by people.
Listen, we don't normally talk about what's going on the playlist early, but guys, this has to go on the playlist.
Hey, this is a great way to pad the runtime on our playlist.
Honestly, good point.
That's true.
If you are out there and you love this track and you don't think it's too long and you don't think there's too many features and you don't think that the subject matter is just so fucking stupid, please let us know that you exist.
That's fair.
I'm willing to bet money that you don't. And if that gives you an ego death, I don't care.
There's not somebody that agrees to all of the things you just said. Come on.
I don't think there is. I don't think that person exists. Genuinely. So this is not a drinking song. This is an every substance in the world song.
Right. Yeah.
I agree with Robbie. I think the beat is busy, but also boring. I also wrote down the hold my wiener line.
Hard not to.
And then the only thing I have written down that you guys have not already hammered into the ground is hook sucks shit from a butt.
That's fair. That's accurate. Yeah.
Oh, also, maybe one song doesn't need 24 features. That's just me.
Probably true.
I listened to this all the way through one time. The other time, you know, I've listened to this album 3 times in preparation. The other two times, I didn't even listen to the song.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's move on to track number 8. This one is called Falling Down. It's featuring Swollen Members. Mm-hmm. Anyway, Robbie, talk to me about Falling Down.
Yeah. So Swollen Members is a Canadian rap group from the, I think they started in the mid 90s, maybe late 90s. Mad Child and a second guy whose name I never remember. It is Prevail. I apologize. I don't listen.
That's his name?
Yeah, his name is Prevail. It's Mad Child and Prevail. They're pretty good. They're kind of an underground backpacky rap group from Canada that eventually got intertwined with the suburban noise world and signed there. Mad Child's still around. I think kind of the worst guy. I think he's just gotten really into like sort of post Tom McDonald headline grabbing song titles kind of shit and like trying to, you know, maybe edgelord people into listening to his music.
Is that a Canadian rapper thing?
Maybe. I don't know. It's weird because they both seem very preoccupied with American politics and, you know, culture stuff. But, you know, I don't know what's going on out there. They might be talking about cancel culture all day and night and hanging out with Ben Shapiro.
Ooh, no.
No, that's just Tom McDonald. Mad Child, I don't think, is hanging out with that guy. But regardless, That's just a little background on who Swollen Members are. Falling Down is the song we're here to discuss today, gang. And I really, really like this one a lot. Again, this hits that sweet, sad, twisted, you know, portion. Dominic took a break on this one. He sat this one out. And I love what Madrox did here with the Nothing But Water In My Eye, etc. chorus. Monoxide has a part where the beat kind of changes. And he says... and the rain will wash it all away. And the way he says that with like the way the beat works, I always have really, really enjoyed. Yeah, I love the piano here. It's very of the time. This sounds like something that could have been like an early Kendrick or like even something like Mac Miller or Wiz Khalifa were doing. Not in a party, you know, way, but like if they were going to have a serious like love song ballad on their record, I could see it being over a beat of this nature. Yeah, overall. I don't care about Swollen Members here at all. I think they sound fine. I like their voices okay, but this would have been just a fine, just twisted as a duo song for me, and I would have been happy with it. But Aaron, what do you think about it?
Yeah, absolute whiplash going from the previous track to this track. But I agree with you. This song is fucking great. I like this song a lot. The beat is super cool. You know, the verses are really nice. I think that, yeah, I could take or leave... I almost said throbbing member, but swollen member.
Throbbing gristles on this one. It's an interesting pair up.
I could take and leave throbbing, swollen member. I think this could have been really good as just a twisted track. But also, you know, I think I'm not mad that they're here, though. I think that they both sound pretty good. Definitely, they have a good tonal change between them and Twisted that kind of makes it interesting. And then I forgot who says it, but somebody says, here it is. It's Prevail. I'm pretty sure he says, "You ain't from Hard Knocks, maybe Fort Knox." Mm. What?
That doesn't actually make much sense.
That doesn't make much sense at all. And Genius has it written down, "You ain't from Hard Rocks, maybe Fort Knox." Also, not a phrase. Doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
So that's kind of the one thing that I take umbrage with this song is that Hard Knocks, Fort Knox, what's going on?
Is it trying to say like you're not from the streets, you're from the place where they got all the gold?
I guess that makes sense, yeah.
But I feel like at its core, Fort Knox, that's like a place that's kind of hard to, I mean, it's security high. It's, you know, that's not a compliment to be from Fort Knox.
Right, I think that's the insult. Because Fort Knox is hard to get into because it's where all the gold that backs the currency we use is kept.
Correct.
So I think he's trying to say, you're not Hard Knox. You're not from like the school of Hard Knox. You're not from the street. You're from Fort Knox. You're from a wealthy place away from all of that. I think that's it. I think it's kind of a stretch of a metaphor, but I think that's what it is.
It's very much a stretch. I don't see Fort Knox as being a wealthy place. I see it as being a concrete building that's like 12 feet thick and like guarded men everywhere.
Well, there's a reason that it's like that, though. Yeah. Because of the wealth within.
What if he was talking to someone specific who is from, they live in Fort Knox?
Now, hold on. Is this like a Disney World scenario where Fort Knox has a neighborhood?
Yeah. I also, so just for the record, I just Googled Fort Knox to get a view of it. And there's some Google reviews So it's an amazing place with great people doing extraordinary work. Easy access at check-in gate, free parking at museum. So, I mean, you know, sounds pleasant, I guess is all I'm saying.
Yeah, okay.
Fair. I don't like that line either way.
Fair. Even if the parking's okay. Good.
That
Fair.
Was the yeah. the big...
You don't have to like it. You don't have to like it.
You know what? Agree to disagree. yeah, that's the only thing I really didn't like about that this track, though. I mean, I think this is a fucking great song. Eric, what are your thoughts?
Well, you know, this is not the first time we've encountered Swollen members on this show, because they appeared on an ICP track that was, I want to say maybe on House of Wax or something. It was on one of the sort of non-mainline albums where they had recorded a song with them, or one of the members did it, or one of them was supposed to be. Something happened.
Was it one of the Death Pop, like, extra album things, maybe?
Yeah, that must be it. I knew it was one of the, it wasn't like a mainline release, and it must have been around the time that we were talking about House of Wax or something. But yeah, that's where it was. It's on that album. So not the first time we've heard or talked about them. Robbie, I heard the same thing that you heard. I heard ultra popular mainstream rappers kind of, I don't want to say sappy, but love songy, sad kind of beat.
Sappy works.
Yeah, which doesn't particularly appeal to me. It's not the kind of thing I would normally seek out and listen to. I don't think it's a bad beat, but I also think that there are points where what they're doing over it doesn't really match the vibe and feels a little off to me. I'm glad Jamie sounds a little more like Jamie on this track. That's cool. The hook is at times feels a little silly with the nothing but water in my eye, but I get it's kind of like, oh yeah, it's the rain, I'm not crying, or something like that. I'm like, oh, okay. I don't know what the fuck you guys are talking about, because that first dude from Swollen Members has one of the stupidest verses I've ever heard. Like, I know this is supposed to be a serious, like, emotional, meaningful song, but this guy makes the song laughable to me. And if I went out to that guy for a verse and that's what came back, I'd be like, there's no way we can put this on the song. Because his verse is, I'm spitting meteor showers, spitting nuclear showers. Check my nucleus cluster. I got the spookiest powers. I am dark and demented. I'll shoot a nuke at you cowards and stick my dick in a groupie and fucking puke on your flowers. Damn. What?
Hard.
So stupid.
Hard as fuck.
So stupid.
Wait, you're going to skip the next line?
I can. That's all I wrote down. What else does he say? He says something else really dumb.
A, lucky that I didn't overdose. I'm a sober ghost, which I just like the idea of a sober ghost.
Mad child slither like a cobra through the coldest snow. What?
Yeah, I don't know what that means. Listen, I'm not a fan of Mad Child, really. I think he's got his moments overall as a rapper in his career. But yeah, this is not my verse.
Again, there are parts of the song that I like, and there are parts of the song that are just like, oh my God, why is this here? Which is, except for the last song, common across almost all of these to me. But yeah, so those are my thoughts here.
Well, we got one more for the listening audience. We did not put any of the remixes on here. We just went with the mainline album, and that leaves us with one final track, which is Monstrosity, which is billed as by House of Crazies on the album art, I believe. This is, I believe, I could be wrong, and if I am, slap me on the wrist and slap me on the rear if you want. But I believe this might be the first song credited to like HOK since the 90s. Does that feel right?
Yeah, because anything else that was similar would have, that we've seen or heard, was billed to Samhain Witch Killers, I think.
Yeah, so.
Yeah, true.
But yeah. Either way, this is a Monstrosity, the HOK version, according to some versions of the CD packaging. And Aaron, I would love to hear your thoughts on it. I would just love that.
Great seeing the ROC still in the mix. Last track on the album, but it doesn't feel like an album ender. In fact, my main takeaway with this track is, hey, flip this with Falling Down and let Falling Down close out the album, because I think that would have been way better album ender. Beat is chaotic but cool. I always love HOK mentions, and the fact that this is an HOK track made my heart skip a dirty little beat. That being said, it's not among the best HOK tracks by far. Also not among the worst. The verses are solid. My main thing that I couldn't stop focusing on is why did they put this one last when Falling Down should have definitely been last?
It's probably because it was like a House of Crazies. Whoa. And people were like, oh, shit.
Yeah, I think that's why probably.
Yeah, I mean, I can see the merit in that, but I still would have preferred Falling Down last.
They should have put Wasted last and then just made this an 8-song album.
Man, can you imagine if this ended with Wasted just for 9 minutes and you're just like, oh, okay.
Yeah. Yeah, I can imagine it because I would just turn it off before.
Oh, yeah. To me, it would not exist. It would be very easy. Yeah. Way easier for this song to not exist.
Yeah.
Yeah. Those are my thoughts on Monstrosity. Not a lot. You know, it's an OK track. Eric, what are your thoughts?
Well, we start at, when the song started, I was like, whoa, wait, is this the album ender? Because it starts out very much like the intro track to the album where you're getting that, you know, sort of. I think it's Jamie's voice doing the twisted repeating, but this time it's House of Crazies, but also HOK. And I was like, is it just going to be just like the intro track, but just an outro where they're saying House of Crazies instead? But no, it turns into a whole song. I do want to point out they're repeating House of Crazies and also HOK, but every time he says HOK, it almost sounds a little confused. Like there's a question like HOK, HOK. And I'm like, well, okay.
Is H okay?
Yeah, they're just asking if H is doing H all right.
Okay.
They're asking about Triple H.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Is he okay?
I think he's all right. Okay. I think he's doing all right.
Okay. I think this is cool. I like this track. I think listening back now, the dubstep breaks in it feel a little dated, but it's fine. They're not egregious. I feel like after the album, they were like, okay, we did all of this thing going kind of a different direction. We got to give the old school fans a little something. And they did. I think the ROC sounds good. I really like his verse. And I did look up the lyrics for this one and I'm like, okay, well, he's mostly still saying nonsense, but his delivery sounds fucking great. It was difficult to track down the remix of this song. It's just not really available anywhere. And it's the only of the remixes, because there was three different remixes that were on the different versions that is substantially different, because it's got three additional verses, one by ABK and then one from each member of Aquileo. It was really difficult to find something that's obviously this track online, but if you go to the actual Aquileo YouTube channel, it's there. It's just not called the Angel Spit remix. I'll tell you what, they don't add anything beneficial to the song. They actually make it worse.
Okay.
Hey, but hey, we're going to hear the song again because Mike Clark does a remix of it on, I think we'll review it next week. But
okay.
Robbie, what do you think of Monstrosity?
Yeah, I like it. I think the production reminds me of some of that like Samhain Witchkill stuff from the 06, 07 era, more than it does any of the old, you know, HOK from the 90s. But
yeah,
but that's where we are in modern times. You know, they love these machinery grinding around kind of sounds. The Sick Generation sample I think is also on a Rob Zombie or White Zombie song that sounds really familiar. I'd say it's fun to hear these guys together, especially because ROC I think had been basically retired outside of a feature here and there since 2009 at this point. So him being in the video and on this song was really like, hey, you know what, we left the label, we're starting a new thing, we brought our fucking boy with us. And I think that's neat. Overall, the song I think is fine. I don't think it's a standout HOK track or House of Crazies or anything like that. I think it's like pretty cool, you know, pretty cool to hear. I agree that it would sound better on the album maybe before this one, maybe coming out of Wasted and before Falling Down. But no real complaints about it. It just doesn't stand out for me.
Fair enough. Guys, those were all the tracks. We've talked about them extensively. Let's talk about this album as a whole and what our overall thoughts are on A New Nightmare. This is taking into consideration music and beats, lyrics and flows, re-listenability, and overall vibe. Eric, talk to me.
Yeah. So knowing this is the first thing they released after leaving Psychopathic, I had really hoped that this freedom is going to bring some clarity and focus and direction to their trajectory. But what we get here still feels like the same confused, twisted, trying to find out who they are that we've been listening to since the early 2000s. The quality of production is undeniable here. But in a lot of places, the music is fairly unremarkable, and it all just feels like I've been here before. I've heard this kind of thing. The guest features bring some polish to the tracks, especially on some of those hooks. But even though it can make for some great moments, adding all of these additional features on almost every track feels like, especially when you factor in the production and the type of music, feels like it waters Twisted down a little to me. The album is so much less interesting to me, even than some of their previous albums that I didn't like. Like some of the stuff that we could go back to that I'm like, ooh, I didn't care for this album, was still more interesting in the sense that it felt like Twisted. And this one, less so to me. Lyrically, it's fine. There are some good things, some sort of, there's also a lot of like check the box, finished the verse kind of stuff on this album. Some of the guest verses are not great. Jamie's rapping and singing, like I said, mostly I do not like. I hope this does not continue because that'll be tough listens for me. I doubt that I'll come back to listen to this album, if only for the reason that there's an almost 10-minute track that's a complete throwaway in the middle of the album. And on top of that, that track is 80% not Twisted. So why do I need to hear that? But those are my overall thoughts.
Okay. Good thoughts. Some I agree with. Most I agree with. Yeah, I think that, you know, coming out of the Psychopathic era and this being the first thing that they released, I would have liked to see a big jump in focus and in maturity in them, with their newfound sense of clarity that Psychopathic, you know, was pretty much kind of holding them back in my eyes. And I didn't quite get that, but I was impressed. I mean, I think the production value on this was really solid. It could have done with like probably 10 less features than they had. And that is including taking away one entire song. But, you know, outside of that, like there wasn't a lot of things that I complained about. I think that although it did seem, to your point, Eric, and this is a good point, that it felt like it made Twisted water down a little bit with all the features, I really liked what they did with sort of outsourcing most of the hooks to features. And I think that most all the hooks are pretty solid. And I could definitely see myself returning back to at least a handful of tracks on this album that I thought were pretty solid. The vibe was pretty consistent. The beats were solid. You know, there wasn't anything insanely stand out about their lyrics or their flows, but there wasn't really, outside of some of the corny things that the features said, there wasn't really anything super like negative about their lyrics and flows either. But those are my thoughts. Robbie?
Yeah, I got agreements all around, and you know, and slight disagreements, but not in the, you know, like this is a horrible opinion way, more just in the people like things more than others way. I really like this EP overall, this mixtape, whatever the fuck you want to call it. I think my favorite parts of it, the things I like the most about it, are when they lean into the more maybe mainstream sounding sad, you know, songs. I think they do that really well. They had just had a big hit with you know, hit is a relative word, fans enjoyed it with the Love Don't Live Here Anymore from Abominations, and I think maybe they're leaning into some of that. And I think those are the strongest songs on here by and large. Deep End, Screaming Out, Falling Down, I like those songs quite a bit. And then Down With Us is great, a great little kick in the door intro. I almost would have liked it better as a pretty consistent EP of those tracks, and then, you know, stuff like Sick Man and Unjust Love, you know, play into the themes that we're used to from these guys of like dark horror or whatever. But like, I don't think they're the strongest songs on here. They almost feel like obligatory in a way that's like, hey, we're Twisted, we're gonna put some spooky stuff out here. And you know, it's not their best spooky work, I would say. I think they're creative, you know, spark here seems to be in the moodier, sad stuff, which I think is all killer. Way too many features, as we've talked about. I think that was kind of the premise here. Every song has features, and I think they wanted to do it like that for, like, you know, mixtape reasons or whatever, but it does kind of water down the overall product, largely on Wasted, which I think is just super unnecessary. Can't wait to get to the next three of those. Re-listenability, I think, is pretty strong. Like, I think the first day I took notes for this, I listened to it twice that day, and, you know, was looking forward to listening to it again. So I've listened to this quite a bit over the years, so I come back to it. I think production's strong. Yeah, I think overall this is a solid piece of work that is, it has the growing pains or whatever, maybe, of a first independent release, but I think the direction they're going, I'm a fan of, I would say.
Okay. We ready to talk personal favorite tracks?
Oh, yeah. Do we all have Wasted?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm going to try and figure out a way to put it on three times and add half an hour to our runtime of our playlist.
Perfect. We do get paid by the minute on there, right?
Yes, we do. Yeah.
Okay.
I think I'm going to snipe Robbie on this one because I think him and I probably have the same favorite track, but I got to go Falling Down for mine.
Okay.
Eric.
I'm torn between Monstrosity and Down With Us. I think the better song is Down With Us. I'm going to go that way.
Okay.
Okay. Love that.
Because otherwise I would have been forced to pick Down With Us. But for now, I'm going to pick The Deep End. I like that one a lot. I like Caskey on there. Would love to hear more Caskey. I could easily by going to his Spotify page and pushing play. Think I will. I'll just wish he was on another Twisted song.
That is fair. Guys, our playlist is now at 70 songs, 4 hours and 43 minutes.
Wow. What's the duration of the three tracks we just added?
Let's see. 420, blaze it. 431 and 531. So roughly...
just under 15.
15-ish minutes.
Okay. So less than half, or about half of what it would have been if we put Wasted three times.
Yeah, this was one and a half Wasteds.
Okay.
That's how I'm going to rate everything from now on.
Yeah. Speaking of rating things.
Oh.
We got to talk about scoring this album.
Okay.
Let's do it.
Yeah.
All right, guys. We're going to give this a score each, and then we're going to average that out. Overall positive. I like this a lot. I think giving it a 4.5 would be too high. I think giving it a 3.5 would be too low. I'm giving it a 4.
Wow. All right.
Wow.
Eric?
So I didn't personally care for most of this, and I was tempted to give it a 2.5 because of that, but it's objectively well produced, so I went with a 3.
Okay, Robbie.
All right. I did like most of it, but I think, you know, there's a couple things here and there that take it down a notch for me. So I just went over a nice little 3.5 right in between you guys.
Okay. Robbie, sandwich between me and Eric.
Mm-hmm. So that brings us out to a 3.5 overall.
Okay. Pretty good.
Perfect. Love to hear that. Bad. Simple.
Oh, wait. 3.5 Fagos.
Oh, yeah. We're back.
Yeah, we promised we were going to do that, and I did it.
We went there, listener.
Does it make sense? No, but do we care? Also, no.
Hell no.
Yeah.
Definitely no. What a great episode. what a great time with you guys talking about music and other things.
Yeah.
I can't wait to do it next episode.
Ooh, we're going to take a week off, but on the next episode, what are we doing?
Next episode, we're going to be reviewing Twisted's 2014 For the Fam Volume 2.
Yeah.
I can't wait. I'm going to see if it's For the Fam. In fact, I'm going to let my grandmother listen to it.
Yeah, that is a good idea.
See if it's truly For the Fam.
I'm going to let my whole family, anybody related to me, I'm going to bring together to listen to it.
That's nice.
Good. You. Yeah. A listening party.
Yeah.
It sounds like a good time. You going to get that thing catered or do it like a potluck?
The group potluck will probably be there.
Yeah. They're related to me. They are part of the family.
Oh, really?
Oh, that's wow. Great. You. Yeah. If they listen to this podcast, you might have some awkward family reunions coming up.
Buddy, they're already awkward.
Eric, until we get to that episode, where can people find us?
You can find us at our homes, at our places of work, in our cars, traveling between the two, sometimes at a store, things like that, or on our website, icpwwe.com. There you will find links to places you can communicate with us, like our Discord, like our Instagram, like our X, which I don't think we really use anymore, so probably just Instagram, like email, you can email us, and like Patreon, all on icpwwe.com.
Oh my God.
Did you all right?
Eric, you really need to learn to shut the fuck up after you mentioned my favorite website.
Wow. Okay.
Guys, my favorite website in the world was mentioned, and I couldn't be happier. Patreon.com, specifically the landing page that you would get to if you were to navigate from my second favorite website, icpwwe.com.
Ooh, a lot of sites.
With that Patreon, you get a lot of benefits, including bonus content cut from each episode or recorded beforehand from each episode, as well as a Discord channel that only you and us can see. You can talk about your dirtiest little heart's desires. We might not read it, but it'll be funneled to us through this private channel. You also get a special shout out at the end of every episode, which I will be doing now. Thank you so much to Ajax, Blaze, Buckshot. Oh, wait, hold on. Wrong list. Thank you so much to There's a New Podcast in the UPC, Viron, Corey, Sir Blade the Spooky of House Deleter, Knight of the Underground Table, Ward of the Midwest, Champion of LLE, and Patron of TWU. 1992 called, They Said Your Mom Should Have Swallowed. Scott, Robbie, Austin, I Never Learned How to Read, Andrew Schmeev, Bubbles Bobbles, the 17th of each month, Christian Ike, McWebhead, first episode is out now, bitch, hashtag TT Got J, Adam Troy, listener, I'll be down with the clown till I'm dead in the ground, baby, Tails, that's Tails with an I, from the Bark Side, Hardcore Vegan Dude, Dana, Mushy Mustard, Robbie Agony, Tribute to Shoes, Robert, Don't Crit Fail, and Nicola.
Okay. So I got number one.
What's happening?
Shout out to our newest members, because we've got two or three brand new ones, but also the individuals that are part of a certain new podcast clearly didn't take into account that their names wouldn't be next to each other, because I think there's a hidden message in between there. If you assemble the things that seem like they aren't complete ideas.
That's for the listener to do, I think. Yeah.
Correct.
That's like, you know, the old ICP phone number. You got to get the rhyming word shit. Our listeners, I think, are tasked now to figure out what that secret message is. Never tell me it. Just, I legally am not allowed to know. So do that on your own and don't post it anywhere. Just think about it alone.
Fair.
You know, actually, we do need to talk a little bit about related to that. You're gonna have to figure out what the message is there, but it's been 2 weeks because we had to take a week off, and our friend Rob, who has been actually early on a detractor but then quickly became a homie, which is the best kind of homie, somebody that, you know, you turn around from being a hater to being we'll just say a lover, because, you know,
yeah,
who knows what might have happened when we visited at one point. That's true. But has a new podcast, used to do a show called What is a Juggalo, but now is doing a show called Don't Crit Fail, a Juggalo Adventure, which is like a TTRPG where a group of people are going to the gathering of the Juggalos. I was asked to do a theme song for it, and I was very happy to be able to do that. If you go check out the show, you can listen to it.
Okay, enough about you. Let's meet the Don't Crit Fail crew.
Allow me to introduce you all to Trey Parbleson.
A guy. He's 29, relatively. He's a tallish guy, a little above six, and brown hair. Just, again, average white It's the gathering. It's a lot of average white guys.
Nikolai, he is from Norway. He's 50 years old at the moment. He is a quantum physicist. He grew up very poor, got into science, graduated from a highly esteemed university in Norway.
My character's name is Merc Daddy. He is a horrorcore rapper, or at least he wants to be. He's got a backpack full of mixtapes, and he's driving his Chevy Cavalier all the way from Puyallup, Washington to get to the gathering because he wants to be a famous horrorcore rapper.
So my name is Allie Youngblood. I'm 25 years old. I'm a lady from Salt Lake City. I'm trans, and I just got kicked out and cut off from my family for being so. I am not actually going to the gathering. I am just riding on a bus to get the fuck out of Utah.
What is the reason? Wait as the days unfold. Only way to find out. Give the dice a roll.
At the adventure of your life, we need you there because Juggalo, where one thing fits magic.
There you go. Here it is. You just met the people that are involved. Anyway, if you think this is an intriguing concept, if you like people like Jiggles, that's on the UGT podcast, or Shmeev from Juggalo Judgment, they're involved. And you, if you want to hear what they're doing, you can jump in. But seems like it's going to be a pretty fun show. So get your ass over there to Don't Crit Fail, a Juggalo Adventure, and listen to it.
No, wait, they didn't get Blade or Mike?
No.
Ooh, hard pass on this one, yeah.
Oh, those are the two that you like from those two shows?
Yeah, I listen to those shows for specific reasons.
Okay. Mm. There's not everybody. There's another, let's see, who else is in it? Spark Nuts.
Oh, yeah.
Who is a patron. And Dane, who I think is a new patron.
Okay.
Are also involved. Yeah.
Love to hear it.
There you go.
Love to hear it. Shout out the new patrons. Shout out to the old patrons. Shout out to Don't Crit Fail.
And I think if you were previously subscribed to What is a Juggalo, it'll just roll over and be in that feed.
Yeah, absolutely so true.
You might already be subscribed. Just push play, baby. It'll be easy.
Yep, that's
just
it.
Just push play. Guys, thank you so much for being with us today. And thank you in advance for being with us in the future. And whatever the past tense of thank you is, for being with us in the past.
I still think thank you. Yeah.
Yeah, it's usually past tense. Usually you're not thanking people ahead of time.
Well, I just did.
Yeah, I don't know.
Thanks for the memories, but then you take out all the
just vowels? Take out all the vowels so it just says T-H-N-K-S.
Thanks for memories. Yes.
Sounds great.
Shout out Fallout Boy. Whoop, whoop. Bye.
Whoop, whoop.
Whoop, whoop. And do the Harlem Shake.
This show is a member of the Underground Podcast Community.